Good morning this morning. It's 11:07. It's Monday, and a lot going on in the world. The Olympics, the conventions, our local hometown newspaper. So we like to get Dick Weiss in, longtime editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, 30 years, 20 years, the Metro section editor, to sort of break it down for us. Dick, always a pleasure, my friend.
Good to be back.
Your website's weissrite.com, weisswrite.com. Go there, and all links to a lot of these stories that we talk about, and you're also involved in stlbeacon.org. Let's start off with this new Republic story that takes to task the National Enquirer.
No, it's more critical of the New York Times.
Oh, okay.
What happened was the New Republic has a little item saying that the National Enquirer looked into that John McCain situation. The New York Times reported on that some people were worried that John McCain was having a dalliance with a female lobbyist.
Right.
And the New York Times reported it kind of in an innuendo-ish kind of way.
In a John Edwards style of reporting?
Well, not even that clear. And it turned out that the National Enquirer got all over that story and wouldn't run it because it wasn't up to their standards. So I thought that was a dog bites, man bites dog
sure.
kind of story.
But the New York Times, though, you have to question, they didn't touch that John Edwards
they
story.
They didn't know. Because there was nothing to it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But they went after...
They went after McCain, and so and the Enquirer looked into it, had lots of reporters on it, according to...
The New Republic, which is a very liberal-leaning newspaper or magazine.
Yeah, from what I understand. And so, you know, that makes the fifth week in a row we've talked about John Edwards. That's a record for us.
Let's talk about our local hometown newspaper, because I'm thoroughly confused. I thought, as a longtime newspaper man, you were never supposed to change anything in a newspaper. And familiarity was the most important thing. All they're doing is changing it around now.
Yes. I must preface my remarks by telling your listening audience that I'm irritable. Okay? I am fasting today. I haven't had my Twinkies, Ho-Hos, or Mocha Cappuccino. And so what I might be saying should be taken with a grain of salt, which I can't have either. But I woke up and I got my newspaper and I thought I was in Utica, New York, because that's about as solid a paper as the Utica Observer Dispatch, also called the OD. And the OD, you don't OD on news in Utica, and you didn't in St. Louis here with the Monday edition of the Post-Dispatch, in which they have combined the Metro section, the Metro news, into the A section, and taken away your Monday commentary. And where the Monday commentary is are the movie ads, I believe, if you're looking at the paper now. And it's really kind of a mess. But they tell us.
Oh, they did take out that. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And they tell us that these are at least partly the result of feedback from readers. And I'm imagining, you know, the feedback, people were writing in saying, please remove our TV listings. Please remove our commentary on Monday. We have no use for it. I don't know. But the euphemisms go on by saying that they're giving you a highly readable, fun, new everyday section. The everyday section used to have features in it, and now it just has comics and columns. And it is highly readable. Any third grader can handle it.
And, I wish somebody give this man a hamburger.
Give me a Twinkie before I kill again. But at any rate, I do have some compassion and sympathy for what they have to do. They're obviously things are not going well.
They're hemorrhaging money. Newspapers are hemorrhaging money.
And this, and I imagine, if I were to look at the Utica Observer Dispatch, it would be a shell of its former self.
Right.
So the Post-Dispatch is probably still ahead of Utica. By the way, they're both kind of lost breweries. You can get Utica Club in Utica.
In all defense of our local hometown newspaper, you were there as a Metro editor for 20 years. So
yes.
This is still your baby in a lot of ways.
Oh, it's really my baby because they are still taking care of my health insurance. And so I don't want anybody to think that I'm telling you to cancel your subscription. And in fact, while you're getting the subscription, please also buy Lee stock. It's cheap. In fact, it's $3.80. I believe that's cheaper than a week's worth of Post-Dispatches. So get the stock and get the papers, please.
I don't mind them changing all around. I think their website is atrocious. I like the old website. It's so hard to find things on the website
now. It is a little bit hard to navigate.
I don't quite understand if they're actually trying to drive people to the newspaper, because I think we've all learned that they're not going to. People are either going to go online and find it or go somewhere else online to.
Well, a memo was sent to me that was written by the managing editor, Pam Maples, I believe, that said that they're staff needs to be agnostic about platforms. In other words, new print or online. And I think what she means by that is that we're just going to go get the news and put it up in the best place possible as soon as we possibly can, and don't get too hung up about the print paper anymore. And clearly, they're not too hung up about the print paper anymore.
But I don't know. My only criticism, and maybe I'm taking a less of a critical eye on this, is I don't know when the Metro section starts.
Yes, it's all kind of conglomerated.
It's
not very well designed. And part of that, I think, is the way the there's a little bit of inside baseball, is the way the ads are. They're stacked in a kind of a haphazard fashion, and pages aren't squared off, and it's very hard for a designer to work with that. And so it all looks kind of conglomerated. But you can see at the top of each page in fairly small type, it'll say Metro or from 1A or Nation, and so there is a semblance of organization, but it's not pretty to look at.
Yeah, it's not. I don't know. I wish, you tell me I'm crazy, but I wish they would go to the more tabloid format.
Yeah,
give me the news
at this point.
Give me that Saturday news. I love that.
Do you like the Saturday paper? Well, Saturday people your age love it, and people who will be, you're approaching the age where you will not like it anymore. About age 50 and up, they don't like the tabloid.
Let me ask you this question. Does it make sense as an editor to send somebody to Denver to cover the convention?
Yeah. Now, I would answer yes, but there are increasingly a number of people say, why send, I think there are 15,000 media there.
Right.
Jeff Jarvis, a media blogger, says it's crazy for a local paper, lacking in resources to send people. It's really a little hard for me to tell, but I think there might be something like 4 Post-Dispatch people in Denver. I can't tell where. Sometimes I can't tell where they're reporting from. That's quite a number of people. Now, it used to be that we'd send a columnist, Bill McClellan, would go. I don't think he's there, and it's an awful lot of money to spend. But it is a one-time expense, unlike cutting all the features out of the paper every Monday.
Look at all the money they saved.
But I think how else are you going to find out about your local delegation, what they're up to, and so on?
Right.
The other side of the argument is it's all just a staged event.
Right.
It's like covering a carnival. You know what's going to happen. But in this case, it's kind of a psychodrama. Because while everything is choreographed in terms of what's going to go on from the podium, it's not choreographed down in the peanut gallery where the Hillary people may go off their nut
and
say things that won't be good. So
we'll
see.
Well, when the national media isn't covering the convention, I mean, somebody's got to go out there and report and say nothing's going on.
And yes, and who would know that Rod Blagojevich was being snubbed, except for our local
That was
people.
A good story, by the way. That was an interesting little story.
You know what? The people, the reporters at the Post-Dispatch, the ones that they have left are fine, fine journalists.
All right. You like the Olympics on NBC? What was your comment?
Well, apparently, it was wildly successful. They didn't think, with the economy being as bad as it has been, that the advertisers would pony up for the big bucks to advertise on NBC's Olympics. But according to the New York Times, the big move was made about a year ago when they NBC persuaded the Olympic organizers to have the gold medal races and the gymnastic events at 10 in the morning local Chinese time, so that around 9 prime time they would be on here.
Right.
And it was wildly successful. And of course, Phelps doing what he did was helped as well. Now, it's going to be a little tough because they're going to move to London for the next one, and the races would have to be, I think, at 1 a.m. for it to be on prime time.
So that's
here in the U.S. of A.
It's going to be harder.
Yes, and it was apparently
it
was not too tough to convince people to swim at 10 in the morning, because they do a lot of practicing at 1 in the morning.
Right, right, right.
Perhaps only Michael Phelps practices at 1 a.m.
Right, right, right.
Sure, so.
Yeah, interesting. All right, what's this? The Beacon has a story?
Yeah, the Beacon. Well, we have a lot of stuff on Joe Biden, but I think one of the more interesting stories is the bungalow in St. Louis is making a big comeback. The bungalow being a one-story kind of a brick thing. You live probably amongst a lot of bungalows.
Sure,
down
yeah,
where you live.
Yeah.
And,
South City's full of them.
Very one-story, very energy efficient, and they have a piece on a guy who did a Brentwood bungalow, J. Robert Green, who made it a show place, and they're cheap. You know, you can get them for less than $200,000. So if you're John McCain, you can own not just 7, but maybe 25 of them. So I encourage people to go to the Beacon, as stlbeacon.org, and read the headline, The Bungalow Makes a Comeback. I just like that word, bungalow.
Dick Weiss in rare form today. Rare, angry
right.
form. We like that. What's the best story we've never read?
The best story you've never read is, would you, McGraw, buy a condo for $380,000 sight unseen in Orlando, Florida?
Not today.
No. Because that bungalow that many people bought, like sort of condo, is now worth $125,000. Apparently a lot of people got into the market a few years ago, bought these condos, but turned out it was going to be near a world-class sports training center, and they were going to get plenty of rental profits. Well, as it turns out, it's near a on a rundown corner next to a truck driving school, and they no longer flip those condos, and so they have been plunging in price, and a lot of people were left holding the bag. So that's the best story you never read, but folks, give me 5 minutes because after this show to put it up, because I forgot to do that before I came in.
Very good.
So it'll be the best story you never read.
Did you ever see that movie, Glengarry Glen Ross?
Yes, love that.
The Rio Rancho properties.
Right.
That movie is brilliant. All right, and that's good. All right, so give you a couple minutes. You'll put that up on WeissWright.com.
Yes.
WeissWright.com. Can we ask why you are fasting for a day?
Well, I'm doing what Katie Couric recommends, and I'm getting a colonoscopy.
Oh.
Everybody should get that every 5 years.
This is a family
maintain
show.
Maintain your health. I know.
This is a family show, so don't be talking about that. And
The
last thing I want to do is see Katie Couric's colon on television. So.
Yeah, well,
how about that?
It's probably
part?
On YouTube.
Probably is on YouTube. What a world we live in. All right, Dick. Thanks, my friend.